RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com to make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Highway West Vacations. Highway West invites you to connect with family, friends, and nature as you experience the beauty and adventure found in the great American West. Visit HighwayWestVacations.com to start planning your next great trip today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about current RV buyers. The RV industry has been breaking sales records for the last few years, and they show no signs of slowing down. We have all heard that the average RV buyer is getting younger and perhaps more adventurous. But seriously, who's buying all these RVs?
So we decided to go to the source and reached out to the RVIA, which recently commissioned Nielsen to complete a study of potential RV buyers. Karen Redfern, the Senior Director of Marketing Communications, returns to the show to talk about what the RVIA plans to do with all this great data they've collected.
You might think millennials and full-timers are driving RV sales through the roof these days, but we've read the report and have some surprising news about the new RV buyer. You are listening to episode number 131, Who's Ready to Go RVing?
Before we head into this week's RVFTA News Roundup, we would like to give a great big welcome on board to our newest sponsor, Highway West Vacations.
Yeah, you might be familiar with this group of RV resorts over from our Campground of the Week podcast. So Kate Dunbar, way back at the beginning of the Campground of the Week, reviewed the Flying Flags Resort, which is in Buellton, California. And this was actually the very first Highway West vacation property. And we had never heard of them prior to that.
Kate raved about this property, and it just kind of got us interested in checking out what they were all about. And that was not and is not their only campground. They've got a bunch of other really great-looking campgrounds out west.
They do, and they are spread out through Utah, through California, and Oregon, and Washington. And these properties, what they really focus on is luxury accommodations in the western United States. They have RV sites, tent sites, cabins, cottages, vintage trailers, and hotel rooms. Rentals. So they're determined to offer really luxurious accommodations for all sorts of travelers.
Yeah, it's sort of on point with the more resort style camping and a whole variety of accommodations out there. So they have gorgeous RV sites, but you could also get like a tent cabana on the beach or rent an Airstream from them.
Right, the glamping tents. And we heard about that in Kate's campground review. She really gave us that picture. So if you didn't listen to that, go back to get more of an idea of these Highway West vacation properties. So we really think that this is on trend in the campground industry, this sort of flexible accommodations and really sort of luxurious styling and very customer service driven too. You know, it has that hospitality angle to it.
And we are beyond excited to have a big trip planned with Highway West Vacations this summer. So we're heading out west. We are going to be traveling the Highway West.
We are. We are going to be exploring the great outdoors, right, with Highway West Vacations. And we're very excited. So go on over to HighwayWestVacations.com. You can look at all of the campground properties that they have. We're going to be highlighting those campground properties on podcasts coming up in the future and kind of talking about what they have to offer out there out west. that beautiful romantic place that we're headed to this summer.
And these are very romantic, sort of dreamy properties to some degree too, right? I mean, they all look very special, very unique.
Yeah. So go on over to highwaywestvacations.com, look at their properties. Maybe you can start planning a vacation out there too. All right. So stay tuned for more information.
And a huge welcome on board as a new sponsor to the show.
Yeah, it's great to have them.
So
I'm really excited to see great campgrounds out there.
Super excited to be working with Highway West and to be traveling the Highway West. Now, we have a great giveaway this week. We haven't done a giveaway in a while. So we have both fallen in love with these national park posters. They're by an artist named Rob Decker. And they're retro-styled posters in that old WPA style. And I just stumbled across them on Facebook, and I fell in love with this guy's work. So we bought two and absolutely love them. We got one for Olympic National Park because we're going to be traveling the Highway West this summer.
He likes to get his souvenirs early,
people. I got my souvenir months in advance. So I have a beautiful Olympic National Park poster of a waterfall. And then also he has this really cool one that says Worth Protecting. And it has this very studly looking National Park Ranger standing in front of the forest. And then it says America's National Parks. And I got that one too. So I love these so much. I reached out to Rob and asked if he would do a giveaway on our show because I was excited to talk about his posters, and he agreed to give away two of his awesome posters to two of our listeners. Stephanie, how can you win these great posters?
Well, we just opened up, by popular demand, we opened up the Facebook group. It's called RVFTA, The Group. We did that over on Facebook this past week. And to be honest, I'm really glad that we did. We knew that a lot of people hang out on Facebook and we're looking for that easy way to interact. But I am truly blown away by how friendly and energizing and exciting it's been to watch everybody get to talk to each other about their expertises, right?
So, yeah, and people, if you're asking a camping or RV-related question, sometimes there's 20 good responses there. And the thing that's been thrilling to me that we didn't have on the forum, to be quite frank, is that people are sharing their camping photos, right? So that's really exciting, and it's fun to see them popping up in the feed. Somebody said, all the photos popping up in my feed are camping photos from RVFTA, mm-hmm. the group. So the way you can win these two posters is by joining RVFTA, the group. Now, if you've already joined, you're in it, okay? You are in it to win it. If you haven't joined yet, you just want to go over to Facebook and type in RVFTA, the group, and put in a request to join, and we will allow you in as long as you're not some crazy spammer from some faraway country.
And then you'll be in the contest to win one of the two posters, and he'll let you choose.
You'll get to choose, and he's got national park posters from all over the country. He's got a wide variety. So here's where you can check him out. He's at national-park-posters.com. That's his website. And there's also a 25% coupon off he's got going on right now, unrelated to this giveaway. On Facebook, he's at National Park Posters, all one word. And on Instagram, he's at Robert B. Decker. Check out this guy's work. These are really super cool, beautiful posters. And Stephanie got them framed already. We can't wait to hang them up. We know a lot of our listeners loved the See America posters by the Creative Action Network, and we still love all their stuff. But this is sort of another option to get really cool vintage-style WPA posters of our national parks.
All right. Now, the last topic for our news roundup. This is very important. You're going to get out your calendars here because you've got the Cabela's Camping Classic coming up. It's right around the corner, and we are really excited to be going to this. We'll definitely be attending the Cabela's Camping Classic because it is April 29th and 30th, April 29th and April 30th. And at the stores, they have a whole host of events and everything. And then they also have big sales going on, and the sales extend even online. So you can participate.
A great time to stock up for the spring and summer with gear in the Cabela's Camping store, right?
Yeah. And I just found out today some of the events that they're going to have there.
Tell us more.
So pick the perfect tent. So there's going to be a class where you can learn from the experts about different types of tents, best uses, how to pick the perfect tent, which I think is really great for our audience because I think that even though we're all RVers or wannabe RVers, I think we all also like to take those tenting trips with our kids at some point, right?
We totally want to keep a tent in the RV in case we get somewhere and then want to go further out into the wilderness where the RV won't take us. So it's about time for us to get a nice tent.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to doing that. And then there's also camp cooking essentials. essentials, and you can learn about the essential gear you need to create delicious meals and snacks at your campsite. And then there's Survival 101. Do you enjoy exploring the backcountry? This workshop teaches basic wilderness first aid and life-saving survival tips, which we could really
I mean, even if you're camping at an RV park, a lot of us are hiking out in the wilderness. So I would definitely love to attend
It's just those fun kind of days there. And like I said, they do big sales. Now, they have – so you can go to cabelas.com/campingclassic. So it's an easy URL to hit. But I'll also link to all the information in the show notes.
I think it's worth saying that you can stock your RV in Cabela's camping section. I mean, it's got everything you need.
We're doing it. We're having a great time doing it.
From camp chairs to camp cookware. They have it all,
yeah,
basically.
And really quality products. We've been thrilled.
The secret here to a trip to Cabela's, which we know from our listeners as well as from ourselves, is plan on kind of spending the day there and maybe even having a meal there. If your Cabela's has a restaurant on site, the food is good and you can relax a little bit and kind of have two rounds of shopping.
Absolutely. So that's fun. Mark it on your calendars. April 29th, April 30th, Cabela's Camping Classic. We will be there. Will you? Okay. Now, before we head into our feature topic, we do want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV comp and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from your home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today.
We will be back in a second to start breaking down the profiles of current RV owners. And we're just talking all about who's going RVing, why they're going RVing, who the next generation of RV owner looks like. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to dive into our featured topic, who is ready to go RVing? We have all kinds of great industry information here. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. In this episode, we're talking about people out there buying brand new RVs, and one of the options that you might see on those brand new RVs now is the SantaCon Turbo, which offers the industry's most convenient and fastest waste evacuation method. The macerating pump can evacuate a 40-gallon tank of water in 50 seconds.
I'm going to count.
Tell everybody we have larger tanks now.
Yeah, we have larger tanks now. So I'm going to be counting the seconds.
Yeah, so we now have the SantaCon Turbo on our new toy hauler. We haven't been able to use it yet, but we're looking forward to it.
I cannot wait to evacuate this waste.
You guys are probably going to get an icky Instagram video on that.
I just totally love to get these features on our new RV. So it's like content for us so we can talk about it. So we will be trying out the SantaCon Turbo.
All right, but in the meantime, to see a complete lineup of their products, you can visit Thetford.com. All right, now what are we doing for this episode?
So this episode is who is ready to go RVing. And it's all based around this Nielsen study that the RVIA did to identify, you know, who is the current RV owner, who is the next RV owner. And we decided to just get in touch with RVIA. So we're going to break it down into three segments. The first segment, we're going to talk about the profiles of current RV owners. The second segment, we're going to talk about profiles of RV prospects. And we know that some of you are listening. And then the third segment, we have a really awesome interview with Karen Redfern, the Senior Director of Marketing Communications for the RVIA, and she's going to talk about their plans to try and capture this next generation of RV owners, these RV prospects, the people out there who are thinking about RVing but have not made that purchase yet. And we know a lot of you are listening now.
Yeah, so this is like insider baseball RV style here. All right, so you ready to go? Let's talk first about profiles of current RV owners. Now, this is very interesting because there's a lot of talk out there, kind of this assumption about who is RVing right now. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, it's a little bit different than I think what you might expect.
I think when we first got into RVing 7 years ago, everyone just thought it was baby boomers who were RVing and seniors. Because so much of the media created about RVing is by baby boomers and seniors. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm not critiquing that. I'm just saying that that was the perception 7 years ago. Then Stephanie and I went to the sort of going to campgrounds. There were families and kids everywhere, and it just didn't match up with that perception. Then what I think what has happened in the past few years is that, you know, millennials are a hot segment in the RV industry. There's no denying that. I mean, millennials are kind of making a dent in the RV universe, but that's not the whole story either, right?
Right. So this survey, this research was completed in February to March of 2016. So it's important. It's about a year ago. And that's really recent data in terms of what, you know, has been out there in the RV industry. This is the latest findings. All right. This is basically looking at last purchase year. So what they found was that for current owners, right, they found that RV owners get a lot of usage out of their RV. They take an average of 5 trips per year, averaging 14 days and 3,000 miles. And that's higher than I think we were thinking after we were looking at the camping report last year.
And a lot of people, I think, worry if they're going to use their RV enough. You know, we're in a boating community, and people always joke around that, like, people buy boats and never use them, and they sit in the driveway. Stephanie and I always kind of say, like, we don't think it's that way with RVs. We think that most people use them more than they think they're going to use them, largely because it's so easy to escape on a weekend. So a lot of people buy an RV for that, you know, one or two big family vacations, but then I think they discover, well, hey, we can also do a lot of weekends where we wouldn't go do that in a hotel. So let's look at the profile of RV usage by current owners. And this part of the study actually breaks down the percentages of owners that own each type of RV. And interestingly enough, we're doing a poll on this on the group right now too. So type A motorhomes, 14%. Type C motorhomes, 9%. Now, Stephanie, does that surprise you at all that there are about 5% more type A owners than type C?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm like surprised. It's just like, oh, that's interesting. And of course, this is always a smaller sampling. You know, this is not like the sales for the entire RV industry, which give you a huge, you know, a much bigger number and a much more precise sales. This is them trying to get a hold on what people actually own out there. And that takes in the used market too. So, you know, that makes the numbers a lot more complicated.
Yeah, that does. And you see higher percentages of motorhome owners here the way they're, you know, doing this survey. Now, van campers also 9%. And by van camper, they mean basically like a Class B type camper. And that's right there with the Class C, which surprises me a little. I thought that would be a lower number. The conventional travel trailer dominates at 22%. No surprise there. Go to the campground, you're mostly going to see the conventional travel trailer. Go to an RV show, you're mostly going to see those conventional travel trailers.
Now, also, these other towables, though, are also part of these percentages, right? So fifth-wheel travel trailer at 14%, folding camping trailer, your pop-up, right, at 10%, truck camper at 6%, park model RV. Now, let's look at that number because that is 12%. So 12% of these RV owners have park models. That's a really big number to me. And from the impressions that I get from talking to industry people, this segment of the marketplace is exploding and they're really focusing on making better park models.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to really communicate that that's a very attractive option for people. And we were blown away at the Florida RV Super Show and at the recent Atlantic City show at the affordability of some of these park models and how spacious and beautiful they are inside at price points that are in the 40s and 50s, right? I mean, it's like the average American can't necessarily go buy a lake house or a beach house, but these park models are definitely within reach as a second home, really.
Now, another interesting thing is that 2/3 of the current RV owners that this survey, you know, talked to, they had previously owned an RV. So what they're saying is these are repeat buyers. So once people get into the RV industry and like into the RV lifestyle, I should say, they repeatedly buy RVs. They buy another one.
It's like the mafia.
Wow.
Once you're in, you can't get out. Yeah. So, but that says something to the overall satisfaction and happiness of the RV owner. Like we're constantly getting emails from people like, oh, I don't know if I should make the plunge and purchase an RV. Well, look, statistically, most RV owners are on their second or third purchase. They get into it and they love it and they keep doing it really for their entire lives all the way through retirement.
Now, half of owners said they purchased a used RV, half. So that is really a part of this RV buying segment out there that many people, and we experience that, first of all, from first-time buyers, right? So especially when you're going in at that lower level, entry-level point, you want to test it out, you look for that used RV maybe. But another thing is, I think in the motorized, you know, department, I talk to more motorized buyers that are looking at used.
Because the price points are more affordable.
And it also, I think the depreciation is, you know, when they roll off the lot, it's like the depreciation on the car and the depreciation on the camper, right? It's like double whammy there.
It's also interesting too, is that, you know, in those previous numbers, we saw 10% of people own folding campers, pop-up campers, in other words. But if you look at the percentages of sales of new pop-up campers every year, it is minute. It's like 1% or something like that, or 2%. It continues to decline. But then you see a big market for used pop-up campers.
Yeah, because they're out there and people still want to buy them.
I went on Craigslist tonight, girl.
Oh, geez.
Craigslist tonight looking for used pop-up campers. And there's a bunch right in our immediate area. Now, I don't know about the quality of them. It's not like I went to look at them. But there is a big secondary market for pop-up campers and used RVs.
All right. Now let's talk about satisfaction. So this is an important part of the survey of current RV owners for RVIA, I think, to look at, because, you know, if you talk to a lot of people, they have their, you know, RV quality is a big topic out there. Is RV quality getting lower? Do they need to invest more into making sure RVs are better quality? But then when they're doing this survey, the majority of RV owners said their ownership, that their expectations were either met or exceeded. Okay? So the majority say they were met or succeeded.
Well, for our last purchase, we had our last travel trailer for 5 years. I would say our expectations were exceeded.
You know,
in terms of quality, in terms of maintenance, in terms of all those things. It was a relatively easy purchase to make and maintain. And I really think like the whole industry is getting galvanized around the issue of quality and around the issue of the customer service experience after the point of purchase. And I think I really see things moving in a positive direction in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years in that department.
I hope so. All right. Now, another thing that we had already mentioned was that 3/4 indicated that they would take more trips if they had more time. Now, that was also segmented in the satisfaction, you know, area of the study, because it's showing that people are overall walking away from their RVing saying, well, that was fun. I'd like to do more of that.
Look, and RVing is so much fun that I think people are willing to deal with the occasional problem here or there. I mean, look, if you own a home, there's a problem here or there. It's not going to stop you from buying a home. I don't think it's stopping people from buying RVs either.
Now, the last thing we want to talk about when we're looking at current RV owners in this study was the things that RV owners looked for when they were making an RV purchase. And the number one thing that 60% said was comfort.
This really is interesting to me. I want to go through all of this. 60% want comfort, which that's not surprising necessarily, but I find a lot of surprises along the way here, correct?
Yeah. So the next one down at 53% said an RV purchase price.
So I want one cheap and I want one comfortable.
Comfortable.
Right?
I want it comfortable,
I mean,
and cheap.
It is so sensitive, yeah. The purchase price issue. And we've talked about this before.
But we think that's tied with quality.
We have talked about this before on the show. And we'll talk about it again. If every consumer out there wants the lowest possible price point they can find, then what are realistic expectations for quality at that point, right? Stephanie and I both feel we should all be willing to pay a little bit more and get a little bit more.
Or buy the cheap thing that you can afford and be willing to fix things when they break. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then also the next one down was at 45%. Physical dimensions.
Is it big enough for me?
Is it too big, right? Because I do think a lot of people are, you know, walking into this saying, I have this SUV, I have this car, I have this vehicle.
The limitations of the tow vehicle.
What can I pull with it?
Also, we are shocked by the number of our listeners that are dealing with HOA restrictions. I mean, mm-hmm. We're from New Jersey where we don't have a lot of that in our area, but it seems like people are kind of tackling that issue all over the country where they might not be allowed to have a certain length of RV in their driveway.
Yeah. Now, all the way down at the bottom of the list. There's lots of things on this list, but all the way down, there's dealer service,
which destroys me, Stephanie.
No, you went right
to the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
I think 16%. That consumers are misguided here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to educate people about that too. And you see, everyone cares about price point three times more than they care about dealer service.
Yeah.
That's so short-sighted. If you're only concerned about getting the lowest possible price and you're not thinking about purchasing from a quality, reputable dealer who is going to take care of you after the fact when you have problems, we think you're making a mistake.
Yeah, what's good is that only 15% care about resale or holding its value. So that's really great to see because it means that people understand the nature of an RV purchase. And anybody that thinks they're making an investment, a financial investment when they're purchasing RV is being very short-sighted. You're not making a financial investment. You're making an investment in your life. You're making an investment in your family. You're embracing opportunity and you're living in the moment. And those are all really good things to do.
And to
it's
be
not
cliche,
financial.
It's priceless. We're three RVs into this game. You know, we just recently purchased our third. I never second guess the money we have spent on RVs. I never lie in bed at night going, oh my God, you know, is this worth it? It is absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it.
All right. So that sums up all of our talking points on the profiles of current RV owners that were interested, that these points were interesting to us in the study. Now, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the profiles of RV prospects. These are people that this study identified as shoppers, right? They're in the market. They're looking at RVs. They may purchase an RV. They're thinking about it. We'll be right back to talk about those folks. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to dive into segment two. Now we're going to look at profiles of RV prospects, meaning possible future owners. But first, a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
With the 2017 Greyhawk Class C motorhome, the journey is sure to be as smooth as the destination is fun. Engineered for superior on-the-road performance and loaded with residential amenities and covered by Jayco's two-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, great. So let's talk about RV prospects. And of course, this is a key part of that survey because the RVIA is trying to figure out who is out there and what might motivate them to buy an RV. So they surveyed a bunch of prospects. And not surprisingly to me, more than half have considered renting an RV to just try the whole thing out. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think that that's becoming easier with a lot of these rental share opportunities. And it's amazing to me how many people don't know about that. I've seen questions pop up in different Facebook groups that I'm in, and people will say something about renting, and I'll see some responses, and I'll just pop in a note like, have you looked at RV Share or Outdoorsy? And people are like, oh, I never heard of that before. It happens all the time. So those really are still not on the radar of the typical potential RV buyer.
Yeah, and those companies are just sort of breaking into the national consciousness right now. And I think they'll continue to over the next few years.
Now, just like the people running this study asked everybody, you know, asked all of the RV owners, what do you look for when you're purchasing an RV? Because as I said, they're looking at repeat buyers here. These RV owners, they buy more RVs, right? So they're asking current RV owners, when you're purchasing an RV, what do you look for? And we went over those topics in the last segment, comfort, price. Now, they asked prospects the same question. What do you look for? What would you look for if you were purchasing an RV?
And there's some similarities here,
yes,
right?
Yes, there
82%
are.
Say comfort. Apparently, people
more
want to
say
be,
comfort. Yeah,
then people want to be comfortable in an RV because maybe they're coming from the world of tenting and it's about getting up off the ground.
Or maybe they're nervous about the whole RV experience and thinking like, am I going to be comfortable in this? I'm used to a house. I'm used to a hotel. Is this going to be okay for me?
I think that's a great point. When we have friends come over the house who have never been in an RV before and they either ask to see our RV or I take them out into the RV and say, hey, come look at the RV. They always walk in and they go, wow, this looks really comfortable. And I keep thinking, like, what were you expecting to walk into an empty box and see,
I don't think that's fair because I didn't know what RVs looked like before I walked into one. And we had already owned, you know, we were buying a pop-up at that point. I had seen these all my life and I never went inside a travel trailer. I had no idea what it looked like in there. I never imagined that you could fit so many bedrooms and spaces and a kitchen and a dinette in such a small space.
That's a key point. A lot of families might not realize they're sleeping for 5 in here. They're sleeping for 8 in here, right? They might look at it and go, oh, maybe they're sleeping for mom and dad, and then there's kids sprawled out on the floor. Well, the RV industry is really good at creating bed space for families.
Well, 79% of prospects said that RV purchase price was a huge top factor. Now, that is compared to 53% of current RV owners. And I have a theory about that. I think that once people own an RV, they're like, I want what I want. What does it cost? I want to buy it. I don't care. Like, now I know what I want. I want to upgrade. I want to get that fifth wheel. And the purchase price isn't an obsession, I think, with people that are already in the RV lifestyle.
It's so true.
I think that people that are first-time purchasers obsess about the price.
We did. I mean, we were like, can we afford to buy this pop-up camper? Can we really go up to over $10,000? And now it's like the RV we just purchased is almost 3 times the price of that original pop-up camper, definitely double. So that's a good point. Once you realize you love it, then you're willing to spend more on it.
Now, another thing that was a top factor was safety. And that like was not, you know, well, that was a little bit below on the current. So the prospects wanted safety. And I think that that, again, speaks to the nervousness of, you know, of people that haven't owned an RV. They're worried. Like, is this going to be safe? Am I going to be okay driving this or towing this?
But towing capacity is its own category. And only 35% said towing capacity. That should be a top concern.
But we know from our own seminars, our own interaction with buyers, that is a really tricky topic that isn't as clear as it needs to be to first-time buyers.
I hate to say it. I think a lot of first-time buyers are like, I have a truck and I can go buy an RV. And they're not crunching all those numbers about tow capacity, which is, you know, frankly, dangerous. So if you're a first-time buyer out there, you really want to educate yourself about towing capacity and matching trucks to trailers.
Okay, I want to say something, my last point on this that I find really funny. So for people that haven't owned RVs yet, 72% of them say fuel efficiency is a top factor when considering an RV purchase. For people that have already owned RVs, 32%.
So it's your same theory at work.
It's my
there.
Same theory. Like, it's like you think that all these things are important. And then once people start RVing, they're like, nope, I want the RV that I want. And I don't care what the price is. I don't care what the fuel efficiency is. That's what I want.
I never thought I would own a Ford Super Duty.
Yeah.
I never thought. And now it's like, yeah, love it. It's for me.
Yeah.
I want it. I'm so glad I have it. So we all sort of keep trading up and getting bigger.
All right. So those are the top factors considered. Now, this is the last thing we're going to talk about before we go into our interview with Karen Redfern. But the purchase barriers. This survey asked people basically like, what's keeping you, right, from purchasing this RV? And most people reference the price. And we know that. People say constantly to us, like, we don't know if we're ready to take the plunge with cost. But also people mentioned ongoing maintenance costs.
The fear, I think it's almost like the fear of the unknown.
The
like,
money
what
pit.
Is this
yeah.
going to cost me mm-hmm. over the years? You
yeah.
know,
and that, and is it going to be worth it? Am I going to get my value out of
it? There's not a mountain of research and information out there about that. You know, and at our seminars, we talk about that. And we talked about how towables tend to have, you know, lower ongoing costs than motorized, et cetera, et cetera. But there isn't a lot of great information out there for people about that, I don't think.
Yeah. And they said that only 11% of those who have looked into purchasing an RV anticipate difficulty getting finances. And I think that really
financing.
Yeah. So I think that really, that does not surprise me because when they talked about the people in this study being, you know, having an income of over 40,000, all of the other numbers in this really point to a segment of the population that does have some extra money, right? They have a little bit
of discretionary purchase,
and people are saying like, no, I can get this. Like I could get the loan for this. The question is whether it's going to be a comfortable expense for our family every month. So that was interesting to me, but not surprising.
Yeah,
to me.
RV industry has really responded in terms of bringing prices down and having lower price points. You know, we've said on the show before, we see really nice new travel trailers at the 10K price point, which almost seems crazy to me, right? I mean, but they're out there.
Yeah. So that was, we just broke down what the study showed about current RV owners that might purchase RVs in the future that have purchased them in the past, obviously. Then we also talked about RV prospects, people that haven't purchased RVs but are open and considering the topic. Now, what we're going to talk about with Karen is this study identified three different populations, right, of purchasers that are the most sort of primed to get into
they
the RV game.
They are receptive to that go RVing message.
Right. So the top prospects, this is what the study said, the top prospects were segmented based on their likelihood to purchase an RV and their positive affinity towards the RV lifestyle. All right. So they came out with three different segments of the population that are most likely to go ahead and actually make that RV purchase. And we are going to talk to Karen, and she's going to help us understand a lot more about those buying segments.
Yeah, and Karen is an absolute gem, and she is so knowledgeable about the RV industry, and she really is fascinating. So please stay tuned for this really great interview with Karen Redfern from the RVIA. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Karen Redfern, who is the Senior Director for Marketing Communications for the RVIA, and she's also a major player behind the long-running and wildly successful Go RVing media campaign. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hey, how are you? It's great to be with you again.
Hi, Karen. Yes, welcome back. We know this is not your first time on the show. Some of our longtime listeners might remember that they met you back on episode number 66, which was Greetings from the National RV Trade Show. And
yes.
In that episode, you talked about your decades of experience in the RV industry, because we guess you started when you were age five, right?
Correct.
So for any of our new listeners out there, can you just give them sort of the short version of your history with the RVIA and what you kind of do over there?
Sure. I've been here with RVIA for almost 28 years now because I absolutely love my job. I love this industry. I love RVing, and I just can't get enough of it. So why would I have any other concern or question about another job that I would be interested in?
She's not in the job market, folks.
Karen has seen, seen lots of changes in this industry over 28 years. My goodness, that's a whole other episode we could do.
It is incredible to see the changes in the appearance of the products and the technology. But the core of RVing, the heart of RVing, the RVers themselves have not changed. And that's what keeps me so passionate about what I do every day and what keeps me interested. The technology around my job and how I do it changes daily. There are always new challenges, but the message, the lifestyle that we're sharing with Americans is just incredible. My children were raised RVing. Their experiences that they had are surpassed by no other vacations and things we've done. So there's so many positives that it just makes it. Communications is my passion. And so I've been in a variety of different positions here at RVIA in the communications realm. And for the last 13 years, I've really been overseeing the Go RVing program. And that's where my true passion lies, because I talk to the consumers about why this is such a great lifestyle.
So I blame you, Karen, because it was a Go RVing commercial that got me started on this whole crazy
Perfect. That's
adventure.
Why she's good at what she does.
We were a textbook case for how this works. Television commercial pulled me to the website. Website pulled me to the dealer. Dealer pulled us into a life-changing purchase.
And we a pop-up that we needed to replace because it wasn't the right camper for us. But that's a whole other story for another day, right, Karen? You guys were there with our next travel trailer, too.
Yep. From that real nerdy point of view, we got you into that purchase funnel. We got you in the top of there, and we left the rest of it up to you. And that's really the goal of the Go RVing program, is we know that there are so many resources out there for people who are already RVing, people like you who are passionate and can provide the RVers with the day-to-day details. Our job is to create that excitement, to create that desire to want to be part of the RVing community, and then to give people to the resources to get them started on the journey. And after that, it becomes kind of personal preference of the RV that really fits their lifestyle, their budget, their family, wherever they might be. And then the information to continue that passion comes from folks like you who provide that.
And you are passionate about this, which is why it seems that every time we meet up in Louisville, you pique my interest about another topic. And this year, you actually were talking at the Outlook Breakfast, the breakfast where RVIA kind of stands up and says to everybody, hey, you know, this is what happened last year, and these are our goals for next year, and this is what we're going to do and where we're going together. And at that Outlook Breakfast, you spoke about a recent study on RV perceptions and purchase motivators. And I was like, that's interesting. So I asked you to come on the show a little bit later so that we could kind of dive more in depth into that study, which was conducted by Nielsen, right?
Correct. And it was the first major consumer insight where we really tried to get into their brains and thinking about what appeals to them. And we did go with Nielsen, who already has huge segmentations of the U.S. population, and they try to take a look at where the categories they've put the American population into and who we appealed to as an industry.
So they were right there ready with a good sampling for you guys. And they, in that report, you all identified three of the best segments for the RV buying market. In other words, those sections, those segments of the population that are most ready to enter that funnel that you talked about before and dive into an RV purchase. And we kind of wanted you to give us a little bit more insight about those segments. So you ready to go?
I am ready to go.
All right. So those three segments were the active family adventurer, nature lovers, and kid-free adventurers. So let's start off with the first one, which I don't know, somewhat appeals to us. I can't imagine why. The active family adventurer. Tell us a little bit about these folks.
Sure. First of all, those three segments really represent about 40% of the total U.S. population. So we've got almost half of the population represented in those groups with the way Nielsen looks at the population. So when we're looking at active family adventurers, obviously the name of that category is a big giveaway as to what kind of a lifestyle they're leading. But we looked at them in terms of all of the available options of what they have for their leisure and travel time, and how does the RV product appeal to them? So we found that they had the highest opportunity to become part of the RV lifestyle. They were most likely to consider a purchase after they've either rented or visited an RV dealership. So, or they've gotten out and they've read RV travel publications or been introduced it through a podcast such as yours.
So yeah, we have a huge listenership, Karen, that finds us when they're thinking about a purchase,
correct,
not necessarily have already made one.
And it's kind of those, the wheels get turning in the back of their minds of someday, or I'm not ready yet, but oh my gosh, this sounds cool. And as they listen more and more, then they begin to see how it fits. It's not a wait until someday. Sometimes there's key elements they find where it fits into their lifestyle today that they never thought of. So most of those people that are ready to kind of jump in and make that purchase that fall in the active family have rented either an RV or maybe even stayed in a cabin in a campground in the past 2 years.
Now Karen, I'm sorry, go ahead. You finished.
Go ahead.
I was going to say this must have been music to your ears at RVIA, because it seems like since the recession, the industry has shifted a little bit towards making lower priced units. You know, we talk all the time about how you can buy a brand new travel trailer for $10,000, $12,000, $14,000. So I imagine when you heard this, you were like, okay, we have the product for you already.
Absolutely. And what the study really, what all around gave us kind of that 360-degree affirmation. You know, there were assumptions we were making of the products, the lifestyle, the segments of the population we were approaching with all of our messaging. Yet and we know what kind of products are moving based on the numbers of being manufactured and sold. But this kind of all brought it together because we were able to group people into certain categories and understand the psyche of these people. And what we found, like with the active family adventurers, you know, the children play a big decision. They're a major influence in the purchase decision.
What do you mean by that? What, like, just by their presence, they demand beds? Or do you mean that the kids, you know, really, like, actually play a role in picking units?
Stephanie calls them the tiny dictators. And it makes this kind of
all of the
that.
Above. You know, we do more and more of the activation at consumer events that are non-RV related. And it is amazing how many little children will drag their parents back to our display multiple times throughout the day. And the parents kind of roll their eyes as they come in, and we're like, we welcome you back, because the kids have been so excited about what they've seen. We had one little boy who hung out for most of the day, and he was a better salesman at telling people the features of the RV than anyone else could, because he had been investigating it at about 5 years old.
Yeah, Karen, our boys, we have neighbors that came over to kind of peek at our new RV, and our boys have been trying to sell them an RV for the last year.
Our boys, like, pick out RV types
they
for
do.
Our neighbors.
They said, the last time she was over, they looked at me and they said, hummingbird. Like, they were like, we've got their RV picked out. Kids love it.
I'm interested in this scenario, though, where you're at one of your activations where you guys set up an RV at a non-RV event, but where there are people that might be interested or amenable to looking in it. So the kids get the parents in. What then do the parents say, or what attracts them to it? What surprises you about their initial reactions? Because I'm sure you've been in those RVs when people walk in for the first time.
The best initial reactions that we hear over and over again is, oh my gosh, this is an RV.
They think it's like an empty cave inside or something. And
correct,
then they walk
or
in.
They see this, you know, this vehicle that passes them on the road as they're traveling. And, you know, everybody has in their mind the scenario of the gray haired behind the wheel holding them up on the mountain pass or something. But it's not till they step inside and they see the modern amenities. Or some of them, we had a model out at one that looked small and people said, oh, I can't fit the family. And then they got inside and they said, it's like a dance hall in here. Look at all this floor. But where do I sleep? It had a Murphy bed in the nose of the travel trailer. So it's like, well, there's your couch. But at night when you're ready to go, you don't have to do a pull-out couch and put your sheets on. You just pull your Murphy bed down over the top. And now this is ingenious. And their minds start thinking about, well, we could do this. We could fit and we have it. And the brains just really start going and they start thinking of, this could be possible. It really could be.
Now, one thing that was in this segment, you know, the mean age was 44.3 years old. And I was really happy to see the phrase Gen X actually written in this report, because it's something that we say a lot on the podcast. You know, it was, again, what you feel like is true, but it's nice to see it affirmed. You hear a lot of talk about millennials. You don't hear a lot of talk about Gen X. But from our impressions doing what we do, there's a lot of Gen Xers entering the marketplace right now.
And what I've found as I've gone through and looking at research is, yes, the Gen X has almost become the forgotten generation. They kind of got – everybody started talking about the millennials because it was a large group, almost the size of the baby boomers. So that group of Gen Xers and Gen Y, they got sandwiched in the middle and people kind of forgot about them. But their values and their ideals correspond so closely with the baby boomers – but they're just a little bit younger. So everybody's always talking about, those millennials, you know, they're completely wired different. I don't understand them. The Gen Xers are so much like us. They just are a little bit younger. And so they're a perfect market to pull along. But sometimes people forget how to market to them. So they've definitely been the concentration of, you know, some of the young families when we're looking at and how to appeal to them.
Is it harder to reach this group, though, that's like so busy, you know, raising kids or in the prime of their careers? We always find that those people, it's maybe a little bit harder to grab their attention.
It is. So that's part of the reason why we've developed our Away video microsite that tells the real life RV adventures. And we keep trying to pull in people that come from all different facets of life so that as people are watching them, they kind of have that assimilation of, there's somebody like me. I can picture myself then doing what they're doing. And we find, you know, just as you talk about your love of RVing and you've drawn so many people in just because they hear the passion that you have for it and they want to experience it by watching somebody else doing instead of a company preaching something to them where they know they're trying to be sold to, that we find is our greatest advantage in explaining to people what the RV lifestyle is about, is to let them experience it through the eyes and words of someone who's so passionate and involved with it.
It is all about the story. Just today, somebody posted in our Facebook group a picture and said, I blame a certain podcast for the fact that this trailer exists because I was a tenter and I didn't even know I was unhappy until I started listening. So it is the story. You're saying, like, this guy didn't even know he had a big gaping hole in his life until he started listening to our stories, you know?
Exactly.
So how also...
The children do influence it because they've got a different outlook. And, you know, just as you said, we as the adults are busy in our day-to-day and getting from point A to point B and coordinating and paying the bills. And then all of a sudden, if the children stop and say, this is something that would be cool, or I would like to do this, or, you know, why don't we go camping? You know, I'm sure that there are friends of your children who say, why don't we go camping?
Oh, like yeah, our boys, yeah, they definitely, their friends put the pressure. Yeah, and so now we have families that'll come and, like, stay in a cabin at the campground with us to see what it's like. So it's a whole process of, like, unveiling that lifestyle.
We could talk active family adventures all day, but we need to move to the other two segments here. So let's talk about nature lovers. Define that category a little bit more for us.
Nature lovers, you know, when you use that term, people automatically think of something almost stationary, you know, the bird going on a bird viewing and things. But it's just we are such a society that is so busy. We are mostly congregated in suburban and urban areas. And there are the people who know they still need to reconnect with the outdoors. Chances are they've done some kind of a camping or an outdoor experience in their past that's kind of beckoning to them to, this is a way to escape and kind of recharge. And they tend to do trips where they're going to lesser known, areas. They don't want to be in the hustle and bustle of the most popular. They would be the people going to some of the lesser known RV national parks. They'd be going to the state parks where they don't have to battle with the crowd and they can see nature for what it is. And they want to be involved in some outdoor activity.
So Jeremy and I always said, like, we didn't start RVing because we were campers. We started RVing because we were travelers and we wanted to find a more comfortable way for us to travel. But then the difference is that this segment, they're probably actual campers. Like, they really enjoy the outdoors. They do that hiking, that kayaking, well, all of those things that we kind of almost fell into more when we were RVing.
I'm thinking that their hobbies are probably very important to you guys from a marketing standpoint. In other words, I imagine these people as being very passionate about their bird watching or their photography or their kayaks. Is that the case?
Right. Yeah. And this age group does tend to skew a little bit younger, and they tend to include that Gen X and even the millennials. So their outdoor nature lover isn't really the silent, you know, or the quiet observer. They're the active participants. So they are doing that kayaking. They're doing some of the mountain climbing. They're going to be involved in doing skiing or snowboarding. So they're whitewater rafting, the stand-up paddleboarding that's gotten to be so popular. They're actually doers. They don't sit by the side. So even though we're calling them nature lovers, they're very active nature lovers.
On that point, Karen, we think you should tell all the manufacturers that RVs should come with better racking for kayaks.
Yeah, we're just talking about that.
We're just starting to see this from a few people in the industry, but we would love to see more of that because nobody wants to add them on aftermarket and be drilling into the walls and things like that. We'd like to
see
that. Correct. Yeah.
And I think we will start seeing that. You know, obviously the products that are out there are appealing to the largest mass of the market. And for so many years, it has been the baby boomers. But now that as we're starting to see, there are a lot more of the smaller, more lightweight, because with the younger generation, they have the smaller vehicle, so they need something smaller to tow it. They don't necessarily want to buy a pickup truck in order to become an RVer. And they need something that will work along with their lifestyle. So, yes, they will be having things that have the racks included, spaces to store things, so that they can take that gear along that they need in order to be in the outdoors and enjoy their active lifestyle.
All right. How is Go RVing going to reach those people specifically? I mean, what's one thing that comes to mind that you guys do where you're really targeting that nature lover?
We are starting to work with a lot more of those outdoor adventurers who are out there through social media, through a lot of our partnerships, connecting through, say, GoPro with some of their athletes. We've been working very closely over the past couple of years with Outside Magazine. So we work and find those people. We do a lot of scouring social media and following people who are just on their own personal adventures, watching them for a while, and then contacting them, you know, so that they can also become an ambassador for the RVing lifestyle that they are participating in.
Yeah, we love that one of your away videos has the surfers, right? Like going and hitting the surf, right? That's a great video.
Yeah, Steph and I both grew up surfing at the Jersey Shore, and the RV really is the kind of the perfect adventure vehicle for, you know, a group of people on a surf trip, right? I mean, you have the storage, you have the comfort. It's a place to warm up at night. It fits perfectly.
Correct. And there's places to stow all your gear, you know. And so it's just finding those channels to get the message to that audience, because a lot of the people that fall into that category aren't watching the traditional television or reading necessarily the traditional paper magazines. So that's where we relate to them in that digital space. And we've started working with a number of small digital networks that cater to people that are in that outdoor lifestyle. And we are working with them to create little stories that will be appearing on their networks that kind of, it's their people talking to their audience of what this is all about. So
Karen, this sounds complicated to reach all these people. I'm imagining 20 years ago, you guys were like mailing VHS tapes out, and now you're trying to find your way into all of these niches where people gather and exist. And it sounds very elaborate.
And I just found a secret stash of those VHS tapes. So if you want any
of them. Oh, you got it.
Karen,
totally.
Karen, we need that.
Want one.
You know, with technology changing, that is actually one of the things that I'm kind of digitizing some of our history, you know, to preserve that. But you're right. I mean, we've changed so quickly. Even when I started with Go RVing, before it was truly Go RVing, when we had Go Camping America, it was the same program before we launched it with a campaign. We literally had an 800 number coming in, and the information would be taken down, and then there were a mailroom full of bins of papers, and they were the campground guide for each state, photocopied on different colors paper, and we would literally stuff an envelope with paper. Then we went to the very modern VHS tape when people called in. Then we started going online, and you could get a DVD. And then when you stop to think about it, all that information comes right into our website. People watch the information there, and there's no transferring of that. So we have to constantly keep up and change how we are serving our message to the consumers, and how do we best reach those consumers who would be most receptive to our messaging.
And you have done that, which is why RVing is as relevant as ever and is growing faster than ever because of that. So, you know, the third segment is, it's interesting because it's kid-free adult adventurers. And I think when I first saw the title of this segment, I assumed that we were talking about a younger age set. But this is actually your oldest mean age at 47.4. So tell us a little more about this kid-free adult adventure.
Mm-hmm. To me, they're still young, but
yes, they are. We agree.
we know that there are so many people that, you know, their careers have been the center of what they've been doing. And they've reached that point, you know, after 20, 25 years into their career, maybe 30, where they're saying it's time to step back. I haven't taken that time to stop and smell the roses. I've been focused, whether it was on having their career and children early, and now the children are starting to leave the nest, so they are alone, or they may be people that were so engrossed in their careers, they didn't have a family or chose not to have the families, but all of a sudden, they may have done a lot of those vacations where they flew somewhere and visited either out of the country or here, but it's time to step back and kind of see what they've missed between point A and B. They've flown over it on their business trips, but what's down below there that I've been missing? And it's a time to reconnect with their friends, their spouses, because a lot of them are married or but without their children. And it's also a time to reconnect with what they've been missing in life and taking advantage. It's kind of gets a little bit of that more romanticized of what have I missed, and mm-hmm. I want to be part of this experience. I want to see not just the big cities, but all those small towns that have these cool little stories or the absolutely breathtaking views that I've missed because you're always hurrying and you can't do those little side pull-offs along the way and take the time.
This is the person that really has that, like, it sounds like you're describing that aha moment where it says, I've gone to point A to point C a million times, but I missed point B. And this time I just want to get in that. You know, we recently did an episode on Class Bs, and Russ Garfin from Winnebago was saying, like, this is the fastest growing segment, you know, for us, for Winnebago. And,
yes.
and I picture this, you know, couple, or a single person, this kid-free adult adventurer. I picture them in a Class B saying, I want to enjoy the drive across country.
And having the spending power to do it.
Yes. And because a lot of them are very urban, the smaller motorhome appeals to them. They don't have to worry about towing. And then it's very compact, so they've been used to driving in and out of city or suburban traffic. It's easy for them to maneuver. So there's a big appeal to that because it's there, but they're in their RV, and they, you know, you can open up the back doors, and you're sitting either on your back dinette or your bed that's in the back, and you can just take in the view of wherever you are. And it's got – that's the romanticized idea of – just being able to take off at a whim and just go and see what you want to do and spend that time. It's very frivolous feeling.
Now, when you saw all these three segments, were there commonalities in barriers to entry? Like, were you able to pinpoint those things that really were keeping people from saying, okay, yeah, it's go time, instead of just researching for years and years and years and thinking about it?
Yes. And because they all share that same zest for life and wanting to experience things firsthand. So that was kind of a given that we saw. But what it did was gave us some insight into some of those barriers. And the barriers to purchasing is a lot of what we see when we do the activations of, oh my gosh, this is an RV. Because people have, when you say RV, what comes to most people's minds are the large Type A motorhomes.
Which is only accounts for a sliver of the market, really, overall.
Correct. And some of it has to do with the vernacular and terminology. I mean, people then call a towable, they don't think of that as an RV. That's a camper, or it's a tow behind. You know, so it's number one for them to understand what an RV really is, that it encompasses both the motorized and the towables. But it's also the mindset of even though a lot of the people did it as a child, their mindset is, but only the old retirees are the ones who finally have the time and money to purchase one and do this.
Man, it takes one trip to the campground to realize how wrong that is. You know, I mean, the
yes.
first time we went to the campground, there's kids running around everywhere.
There is. And it's becoming more and more ingrained. There's that whole new movement of even those younger and in the millennials who want to be part of this lifestyle, but they're looking for the older and the much smaller units that obviously because they're young and they're single and there's no families going with most of them. But we need to learn how to make sure that everyone understands that there really is an RV out there to fit everybody's style and budget.
Right.
So that it is something you can get into at almost any stage of your life.
More so than ever before. And, you know, Go RVing is doing a tremendous job of this. But, you know, I want to know, how are you supporting manufacturers and dealers communicating better with these segments of the marketplace? Because we find that, you know, this generation, our generation, we want to communicate directly with our brands. And there's sort of been a little bit of a lack of that in the RV industry, right? Like, people want to identify with the brand of their RV.
Correct.
You know, so how are you helping dealers and manufacturers, like, build those social communities?
Our biggest goal is to try to figure out the best ways of reaching those and then sharing that with our members and then also sharing with them what we find that the consumers are actually looking for. And that's our goal, is to have our finger kind of on the pulse of constantly monitoring what is being said, what's being looked for, so that we can kind of say to the members, here's what we know. Now it's up to you to create that product that's going to get these people into the marketplace. But we'll help you. We'll give you some ideas of what they're looking for. And then for a lot of them, I think the industry has grown and continues to grow at such a quick pace. And obviously technology is expanding so quickly, for a lot of them to find those people that can be dedicated to kind of that social media and being the voice back to their consumers, it's a slow process to get them to realize the value of that. Not that they don't want to connect, but their way to connect has always just been to have a club that reaches. And that is not immediate enough for what consumers want today. They are used to having the social media where you ask a question or pops, and to wait until a quarterly rally happens, or that is not quick enough in their minds.
Yeah, and we do see manufacturers jumping on board. We see more social media managers out there, more of that, you know, presence on the social platforms and willingness to reach out and talk to their potential consumers. So that's a good thing.
And it is, and there are definitely a lot of manufacturers out there who are doing an incredible job and have a great presence with that. And there are some that it's that slower learning process of how do we now engage with our consumers, and sometimes it's that taking that first step. So we work with any of the members that, you know, want any of our assistance for getting things launched off the ground, or, you know, how do we best, you know, reach those consumers. But it's just, it is time consuming, as you know. It's not something that you can assign someone to do as a, you know, check in once a day or that. I mean, when I stop to think of how much time we spend on it here, and constantly monitoring. And that's the other thing, is you have to make that commitment, and you have to make it with full intent of being there all the time, because if it's out there and people are looking for information or answers and you're not responding, that does more harm than good to not be responsive. So, you know, it's a great community, and we have to say that for the people that follow Go RVing and what we have, it's incredible. And most of the time, before we can even answer a question that might pop up, somebody within the community has the answer for that. And RVers are one of the most engaged and sharing populations, I have to say, you know, and it's incredible, because you see that every day and how they share information and converse and offer opinions and suggestions through social media. Really is enlightening.
Karen, you mentioned your members and you've said community a few times. Does it surprise you that this coalition has lasted for so long? I mean, it's not every industry that works together in their marketing. And from what I've read, you guys are actually the envy of other industries in terms of how long this has worked and the growth that you've seen. So did you think that it would last this long, this one long campaign?
No. Probably in the beginning, I would have to say no. I did not think that it would ever last to the intensity that it did. And we were the envy and still are of so many manufacturing associations, because when you look at it, we have within the Go RVing Coalition and the industry, all these independent businesses who are actually competitors of each other, who are pooling their resources to promote the generic idea of RVing. And no one brand is getting a recognition. We are not selling a singular brand of product. We're selling the lifestyle and the experience to the consumers.
So is this possible because everybody owns a car, right? Not everyone owns an RV. So I think the RV manufacturers must look at people who vacation in different ways as the competitor more than they look at each other as the competitor.
Yes, it is. I mean, we do look at cruise industry and the airline industries in different aspects are the direct competitors, resorts. But obviously when it comes down to actually making that purchase, then they're definitely, it's within the RV industry that they are each competitors. And for many, many years, the Go RVing campaign, we had no logos of the manufacturers on anything that we produced that was under Go RVing. All of our advertising was brand free. But because we've made that turn and so many of our ads now that you see either digitally or on television are made from those digital stories that come from the real consumers, the real users, they obviously are in a product that has a branding on it. So we don't shy away from the fact that everything's got a brand on it now, and eventually the consumer's going to find the one that meets their likes. So the brand name is out there, and we are no longer trying to say, well, it's a generic RV. It's
right, and not, the, you know what? The onus is then on the manufacturer to make their brand relevant, right, and to get that
correct
brand out there and to make a product that one of these three segments is going to purchase. Well, Karen, thank you so much for coming on our show again. It is truly always a pleasure to talk to you. You have such a wealth of knowledge about, you know, how people enter into the RV lifestyle, and it really has been a personal experience for us as well. Your marketing has changed our life. Your life's work, right, of 28 years really had an impact on us. And we just love talking to you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And then it continues because you are there for, you know, changing the lives of so many other people who come to you for that early tidbit of information to get them excited and their lives ignited with these experiences. So it's wonderful. And we all work together toward the same goal of everybody just creating life-changing memories. I mean, the experiences do truly last a lifetime.
And I can't wait till Louisville next year to see what else you get me interested in, all right?
She's got something up her sleeve already, I think, for next year.
The wheels are always turning here. We've always got something.
I believe that. Well, Karen Redfern, thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you again. Take care.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 131 of RVFTA, Who is Ready to Go RVing? And a big thank you to Karen Redfern for giving us her time and for that great interview. And also a thank you to our sponsors on this show, to the Thetford Corporation, to Jayco, to Cabela's, and to Highway West Vacations, and a big welcome on board to Highway West Vacations.
And thanks to Progressive Insurance. Adding an RV policy to another policy like a home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV to learn more. And don't forget to go over to our new Facebook group, RVFTA, The Group. If you join in on The Group, you're going to be eligible to win one of two posters from Rob Decker, who's doing some great artwork out there that we really love.
And we're looking at our two brand new posters right now for Olympic National Park and our America's National Parks are Worth Protecting poster. So we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.